complaining. I have not had a very easy couple of weeks. Anybody else here, you've maybe had a rough couple of weeks? And some of us, some here, I've had a rough week. You might be here, you might have struggled even harder. I firmly believe there are those here that have struggled harder. I'll tell you this too, we've got a very deep prayer request list right now. And I'll go through that prayer request list, and you know, I think of Paula's friend Kathy and everything she's going through. I think of what our members are going through with hurts and pains and surgeries. And, you know, Sister Bonnie at home recuperating from this pacemaker surgery, and just the regular aches and pains of things, the troubles and the trials and the family situations that are going on right now. We've got a very deep prayer request list, and I go through it, and I tell you what, there's some things going on that would... it would shake me up in some of your lives. My personal prayer request has gotten somewhat deep as of late as well. Just friends and family members from other places that have come and confided things to me. And hey, would you pray for me with this? And absolutely. You know, sometimes it's good news. I got some good. I like a prayer request that makes you kind of smile. Got a really good prayer request the other day. It was just a very simple picture. Hey, pray for us. And I smiled. I was so excited for him. So happy. But I'll tell you this. Despite all of the troubles and trials, despite all of the things we're going through, I sure am glad God don't ever fail us. Even when I've sat there and I've been in positions where I felt as though there was no solution, and when you really looked at it, there wasn't one, and I got none. There was no solution. There was no change to it. I just had to deal with what was there, and it hurt, and it broke me apart. Changed who I am even today. I can still look back at that and say, God didn't fail me in that. Because when I needed comfort, He was there. When I reached out to Him, He was there. When I needed Him, I could rely on Him. When I turned to His Word, not only did I find comforting words, not only did I find compassionate words, loving words, but I found advice for how to move on, how to keep going. God has never failed us. I'd like to read this passage of Scripture, Luke 22, verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Verse 61, pay attention to this. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. There are moments in our lives where I would attest that we have failed God. You know, I get so angry when you hear the modern generation, and it's not new with them, nothing's new. But they'll put up, oh, God is cruel. Why would a God that would allow all this to happen? Why would a God do this? Why would a God let us go through all these things? And you go back to the book of Genesis, and I'll tell you why those things happen. Because God said, if you did this, this would happen. Death would enter into the world. I had a family member tell me that they lost a child. And they said, well, why would God allow this to happen? Death was our fault. Death was our fault. God created splendor and beauty and perfection. Not a single bad day. Even the animals communed with us. We didn't speak with them, but we were able to be around them. Wouldn't it be cool to feel perfectly safe next to a lion? I think that'd be pretty neat. I've seen videos of that where somebody will go up and they're petting a lion's mane and they're giving it a hug. I would never do that. I'd like to feel as though I could, though. I think it'd be nice if I knew for a fact, you know, back in the Garden of Eden, wouldn't do it under any circumstance today, but back in the Garden of Eden, you could go up to a creature like that, give it a big old hug, it'd hug you back. Adam took care of that thing. I tell you what, I get tired of going to the grocery store. I would have liked to have what Adam had, just walking around, grabbing off whatever I need. Hey, I think we're having apples today. Hey, I think we're having bananas today. We're going to have a fruit salad. Hey, let's go out over here. There's some carrots. They had all different kinds of fruits and vegetables probably back then before we started messing with them, you know. Just whatever they wanted, they just pulled up and they had. They didn't need to go to the grocery store. It was right there. Just walking around, have whatever you want. God gave them one rule. Told him, you break this rule, death enters into the world. And it did. Because we did. You know, we are to blame for what's going on in our world today. It's us. Oh, the charismatic preachers out there would say, oh no, God wants you to be rich. He wants you to be healthy. There's nothing in you that's causing this. There's no other reason. No, we know the reason. Well, I tell you, well, why is it that I've got relationship problems? Why is it that I've got issues at work? Why is it I got issues with my finances? Why do I got issues with my personal peace and a lack of anxiety? Why am I struggling? Because you're not listening to what the Lord says for you to do. Because I'll tell you, I know I ain't lived as long as some of you, but when I'm living it by the book, I ain't got the problems I've got when I've fallen away. When I fail the Lord, I have to live without him. When I fail the Lord, I get to deal with the consequences. And I've often meditated and thought about this, the stare that must have gone between the Lord as he looked on Peter. The Bible doesn't say they made eye contact. I don't know if Peter could have handled that. Because I'm sitting here telling you right now, I couldn't have handled that. To sit there, I don't know him. Lady, I don't know this guy. Dude, I don't know this guy. Hey, I don't know what you guys are saying. I'm not with him. And all of a sudden, that prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ comes true. That bird goes off. And he knows. I failed him. See, we got a world that's perfectly comfortable blaming God for this or that and getting angry at God for this and that, but we never once stop to consider how often we hurt God, how often we fail God. He sends us babies, we kill them in the womb. He sits there and gives us this and that, we destroy it. We've got the audacity to point our finger up at God and say, how dare you let the problems that we've caused come back down on us? And on top of it, it wasn't just that. It wasn't just that we broke his heart. He sent his son to teach us to die on the cross to become sin for us. And we still have it within ourselves to blame God when we don't like what we have. Now again, I'm not saying that hurt ain't no thing. I ain't saying you ain't entitled to mourn or to hurt or to ask God for comfort. You're entitled to all those things. But we fail God. As I look at Peter's failure here, at a time where Christ would have needed him the most, I'm reminded of my own failures. You and me, we sin, don't we? We do wrong. We ain't got no right to do wrong, but we do it. We sin in quiet ways. Perhaps you sin in loud ways. Perhaps you sin in quiet ways and you're proud of yourself for not sinning in loud ways, right? Things that people could notice. Well, I'm not getting drunk and beating my wife. Well, I'm not flying off the handle in the middle of a Target throwing things around the store. I'm not robbing banks. I'm not speeding down the road. I pay my tax. Whatever. We are so proud that we're not sinning out loud. We forget that even the private sins are an utter betrayal of the blood of Jesus Christ on us. We are all happy to sing, Jesus paid it all. But we're running up that debt. And I say that to hurt you. I know you're probably good people. I've spent enough time around you. But we are what we are. We are sinners. We fall into the gossip. We fall into the backbiting. We fall into the busybodying. We fall into the taking this or that. We fall into the private entertainments and giving in to the lusts. We do those things. And in committing those sins, we fail God. We betray him. There were two betrayals this night. One we know of Judas. Judas, in his betrayal, he got racked with guilt. Went off and hung himself. Poor Peter, he had to live every day of it. Again, I don't know if Peter recognized the stare that was upon him. I don't know if he ever really knew that that took place, outside of perhaps hearing it from how this was revealed. But I'd like to think he was aware of it. If it's in this book, somebody was aware of it. I don't know exactly where Christ was in comparison to where Peter was warming himself by the fire, but I know for a fact that the Lord was able to see him. And perhaps maybe Peter was able to see the Lord. And as that rooster crowed, he knew exactly what he had done. I failed him. I betrayed him for a small minute, for a small period of time. I acted as though I didn't know what I knew. I acted as though I had the right to betray him in this action. We would sit there and say, Peter, you did know him. Peter, you were willing to kill a man for him. Peter, you said you'd die for him. But when the moment came, you were willing to betray him just so you could get the heat off the fire. Just so you could be in that little area to get nice and warm. You were willing to say, I don't know him. Now that's a harsh thing to say about Peter. But you know what you and me do? We came to a point in our lives, if you're here and you're saved today, we came to a point in our lives where we recognized our sin and our sin nature. And we asked God to forgive us. And we asked the Lord's blood upon our lives. And we trusted in Him. And we believed in Him. We acknowledged the Holy Spirit being within us. We acknowledged our new life. We acknowledged we were a new creature. We knew that God's eyes were on us. And we sin anyway. We pick up that phone and we say awful things about people we ought to go talk to instead of talk about. We sit there and we act in our anger. We act in our lust. We act in our impulse. As though God's not right there. As though He doesn't dwell within us. As though He's not omniscient. As though He's not omnipotent. As though He's not omnipresent. We act as though He's not there. What are we? If we think we can put God on pause. If we could put God on break. God is not like any of us. Limited in our knowledge. Limited in our understanding. When we sin before His eyes. Just as Peter did. See, I don't think a lot of the stuff that the apostles did, I don't think a lot of the stuff that the people in the Bible did, I don't think that it was recorded for us to embarrass them or to look down on them. It wasn't there to make them look bad. You know what it was there for? It was there for us to look at it and identify with it. Going, oh yeah, I sin in front of the eyes of God. It's like Peter did. The difference is Peter rallied. You know, for all we can say about poor Peter, Peter did put in his service. Peter did put in the work. But we got to recognize we fail. We give in to our sin. We give in to our comforts. Well, does your church believe this? And whatever that is, that this is, we know that it's controversial. What does your church believe on abortion? What does your church believe on transgender rights? Are you one of those churches where the women wear dresses and they can't wear pants? What kind of church are you? We get quiet about stuff. Or I'll even hear this from time to time. Well, that's what my church believes. I don't know where I stand on it. I know where I stand because I've been in that book. I know where I stand not because of the doctrinal statement of this church, not because I was raised in church, not because that's what's expected of me, but because I look in that book and I know exactly how I'm supposed to behave, and that puts an end to the conversation. I ain't shy about it. Peter's sitting there and he goes, well, listen, I see what they're doing to Christ. No doubt I tell them I'm one of them. And I even kind of get what Peter's coming from. I could try to imagine myself in Peter's shoes. I want to keep an eye on Christ. I want to see what they're doing. I love Him. I care for Him. I want to see what's happening. So I got to be by the fire. I got to be following around. I got to be in this area to see what's happening. I kind of get it. But he had to lie to be there. And my friends, what is a lie? If not a sin. What is denying that you know Christ, if not betrayal? When we sit there and we publicly hide our Christianity, when we hide what it is that the Bible tells of us, we betray Him. We act as though we don't know Him. I've even had people use their Christianity in arguments trying to prove something. You know, I had a lady, she'd show up late at work every day. This was back when I was down in Cincinnati. We were working. I was stocking the salad bar. She used to come in all the time. She'd be late. She'd want to go home early. She'd disappear for 30 minutes at a time. Just nobody could find her. So they hired me to replace her. She had the audacity to put her finger in my face and say, "Hey, God's going to get you for this because you're part of it and you're scheming against me and God's going to get you." What a weird thing to say. It's like, you were supposed to train me. I didn't see you for half my shift. They didn't ask me any questions about you. I didn't tell them anything about you. Stocking a salad bar is not difficult. Tomatoes with the tomatoes, cheese with the cheese, wipe it up because people are nasty. That's it. Not very difficult. I did my job. I didn't say anything about you. Didn't do anything to you. Didn't even know they were firing you. They said, "You want a job?" I said, "Yes." They said, "Here's an apron." That's how it went. There was no collusion. There was no conspiracy. Oh, God's going to... You better be careful with His name. You better be careful. You see this on the side of the road. "I'm a good Christian person." Going 70 and a 35. You're betraying Christ. You better not bring Him into that situation. You're making a mess. Right? We can't, "I'm a deacon, I'm a pastor, I'm so and so." That don't matter. You're either doing right or you're not. And do us a favor. Don't use that. Don't use His name to try to justify or get yourself out of something you did. Because I'll tell you what, if I know Christ and I've done sin, the right thing for me to do is to apologize and repent of that sin. Not to sit there and try to use it as some kind of badge of honor. "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, so let me out of the speeding ticket. Oh, I'm a Christian, so let me out of this bill. Oh, I'm a Christian, so to just look at me as though I'm good, even though I'm clearly doing something." No, you want to prove Christ, you repent when you need to repent. You be humble. You be honest. We don't want to give into the comforts of passing. Give into the comfort of getting away with it. We don't want to give into the pressure around us either. We shouldn't want to give into the pressure around us. Giving into the pressure around you sounds like this. Now, there's not a lot of young Christians here, but let's talk to those that have been around the block a few times, right? This is what trying to give in to pressure when you've been around the block a few times sound like. "I don't give the gospel because people don't listen." That's what it sounds like. This is how a smart Christian says it. This is how an experienced Christian says it. "I don't give the gospel because it's not like there's a lot of elect left anyway." Ooh, put some theology in there. That's good. Still hollow. Still hollow. This is how else it sounds. "Hey, I don't tithe because I see what the bank account is and I think that we're good and we can cover. That's why I don't tithe. That's why I don't show up for the work days, because there's enough people that can take care of it." Right? That's how we sound. We sound so smart. Right? Or sometimes the more contentious, the more carnal Christian will put it on the church members or the pastor themselves. "Hey, I ain't going to do that because what does this guy know? Hey, I ain't going to do that because brother so-and-so said this and I don't like the brother so-and-so said that. So now I'm angry, so I'm not going to do it until he comes and apologizes to me because that's what the Bible says he needs to do." You understand the messed up and backwards logic there? But we sound so intelligent to ourselves. We're given into pressure. Given into comfort. Given into our own sin. I was talking to somebody one time. They said, "Listen, I don't like this. I don't like what they said. I don't like what they're doing. I got to get out of the church." I go, "Really?" I go, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home. I want you to get into a quiet room." And he looked at me like I was crazy. I go, "I know it sounds crazy. Just follow me here. because it works. It sounds dumb, but it works. Get in that quiet room all by yourself. And I want you to summarize as simply as you can why you're angry. Right? And I want you to sit there and I want you to say, I'm leaving God's house because of this. And you know what it came down to? This is true. I no longer want to go to God's house because so-and-so said something about my haircut. But that's not how it sounded. It was they did this and they did that and that ain't biblically right. And I tell you what, it was wrong for them. Oh, the argument was a mile long. You boil it down to its main essence, to the vitamins and minerals of the thing. So-and-so said something about my haircut. So-and-so said something about my car. So-and-so said something about the way that I showed up, the shirt that I was wearing, the way that my tie wasn't on straight. The buttons were buttoned wrong on my shirt. So I'm going to leave God. Sounds intelligent till you boil it down to what it is. Well, they wanted blue and I thought beige was better. Come on now. Come on. Let's not give in to pressure. I want to continue on in our reading if I can. Verse 62, we'll back up a little bit. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. You know what Jesus did when Peter failed him? Jesus didn't fail. He didn't fail. Because I'm telling you right now, if any one of us, right now, with who we are and where we are as a person, if any one of us had to play the game of guess who smacked you, and we had Christ's power, it would have been a short game. It would have been a short game. If any one of us, with Christ's amount of power and Christ's ability, were put under these kangaroo courts, it would have been a short session. If any one of us had a fraction of Christ's power and they tried to nail us to a cross, you never would have been able to find the cross once you picked up the hammer. We would have failed. Well, how come we can't just be crucified? Number one, we ain't got a perfect life. But number two, we couldn't handle it. There ain't nothing in my blood able to wash my sins away. Well, why couldn't he just give us the ability? Because that's exactly what we would have done. We would have ruined it. We would have ruined it. He didn't elevate a man to become God. He came down to become man. Because it never would have worked the other way around. We'd have ruined this all day, but Jesus Christ, in his love and his mercy and his kindness and his obedience to his Father, he rode that cross until my sin was atoned for. I want you to consider Jesus Christ for the moment. His disciples had fled. He could see one betraying him. One had already sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. The other is out there shouting and cursing about how he doesn't know me. And now I've got to go die on the cross for these people. And you know what he did? He did it anyway. Many of us, we know, as Brother Dennis mentioned this morning, our names written in the Lamb Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He knew who we were. He knew what we would do. He knows that we wouldn't even be a quality purchase, some of us. I feel like I'm not a good return on the investment half the time. Well, probably more than half the time, to be honest with you. Oh, Lord, there's so many others that could have done better. So many more talented. So many more in control of themselves. So many more would be a better representation. But you died for me anyway. He didn't fail. God sent his son to die on the cross for that, for our sins, and died on the cross for our sins, he did. And there was no question, there was no problem, there was no debate. Lord, if it be your will, but if it is, I'll go. I'll go to that cross. It was the Lord's will. He got on that cross. He stayed on that cross. You see, the tomb itself couldn't have kept him in. Those little nails they put in his body. And I don't say little to demean it. I wouldn't want any size nail in. Those were big old rail-sized stakes that went through him. But those nails, no matter how big they were, couldn't have held him in if that stone didn't stand a chance. Oh, he didn't fail. He didn't fail there on the cross. He didn't fail when it came time to rise again. Proving to us that he keeps his word no matter how impossible it seems. You ever been in a position? I'll tell you what, Sister Delbert, I don't mean to pick on you, but I'm going to. You could kick me later. We were talking this morning about that recent bout of sickness she had. Told her, I go, I've seen a lot of people get it. You're the first one I've ever seen come out of it. God don't fail. Sometimes he acts just like that. Sometimes he takes the pain away. I'll tell you what, that's what he did for my sin. That's what he did for me, for my nature. That's what he did for my eternity. When he rose again, he shows I can do anything. I could heal you when you're sick. I could take your sin off of you. I'll take you out of hell. I'll put you in heaven for eternity is what I'll do. There are people he rose from the dead. There were people that he caused to hear that never could hear before. There are people he caused to walk that never learned how to walk. People who didn't have the muscle in their bones. And all of a sudden, there's the muscle. All of a sudden, there's the ability. God gave it all to them. I mean, you look at that. There's people, they have strokes. And in having strokes, certain areas of their brain, they die or they lose their ability. So they forget how to do things like walk or talk. And they've got to go through physical therapy to relearn those things. Do you understand how cool it is that God not only healed their legs, but he also created in their mind the system to be able to walk? Just gave it to them. Those neural pathways, boom, there they are. Like you always knew how to do it. I was picking on faith healers this morning in Sunday school, how they always seem to heal people who ain't all that bad. I was watching a documentary on him. There was a poor kid with cerebral palsy. He was in a wheelchair, couldn't get in to see one of them. Because every time he tried to get in for a healing, they said, you know what, not tonight, maybe tomorrow. Not tonight, maybe tomorrow. Oh, we're done. Sorry, we couldn't get to you. But that person whose hearing was starting to go felt better. That person whose back hurt all of a sudden felt better. But the poor kid who couldn't walk or move, we have no time for you. God could take those people. Christ took those people and he healed them. Well, doctors don't know what's wrong with me, but there's very clearly something wrong with me. Look at my symptoms. Took that woman with the issue of blood. No doctor could help her. Spent all she had trying to get a healing. She touched the hem of Jesus Christ's robe, and she was healed. That's who he is. I like what Roger Bennett had to say when he was talking about his leukemia. He says that he was either looking for a temporary healing or an ultimate healing. A temporary healing being that the Lord would take his leukemia away from him a second time. The ultimate healing referring to the time where the Lord would take him up to glory and he would never have to hear the L word again. The second time the Lord gave him the ultimate healing. And I tell you what, I've got a book I read from time to time. Just his thoughts and some of the things that he was thinking. It was almost like his diary. I said, man, I wish even on my best day I had that heart. The heart of a man who knows God will not fail you. God can keep his word. And I'll tell you this, he proceeds to take care of us. When I need strength, he gives it. When I need forgiveness, he gives it. When I need wisdom or knowledge or I need someone around that can help with certain things, there they are, just seemingly out of the blue. God is good that way. Problem is, we've got to keep our head up enough to see it. If we only ever focus on the problem, no, there'll be no solution. Why? Because you are drunk on the problem. You got to look for the solution. You got to look for ways that this is going better. And because God is gracious enough to have not failed on the cross, I can have forgiveness for my failures. I want to talk to you about my motivation to serve the Lord a little bit this morning. I don't serve the Lord because I like y'all. And believe you me, I like y'all. Love y'all. It's like a brand new family. Love it. Each and every last one of you, I do. But there's a deeper motivation. You know, I was talking to some, I guess she's not family, she's friend of a distant family member. Came to Thanksgiving. Talked about, well, yeah, I mean, you're there, but they pay you to be there at church. I was there for quite some time before the topic of money came up. I was already ready to go. I had plans for work. There was a group of ladies called from Kentucky. They were the only two members of the church. They were looking for a pastor. They said to me, well, we don't quite know how this will work. We don't know quite what to do, but we don't want to stop being a church. Obviously, you might not want to come. You got a family, and we can't pay you anything. As a matter of fact, we're going to need you to get a job just so you can keep the building going. She goes, so we understand if you don't want to come down. I talked to her anyway. I talked to her for a while. Motivation should never be what a pastor can get out of the church. You know what motivates me? And I find that if I've ever forgotten about this, my motivation isn't as good, my work isn't as good. The fact that Jesus Christ forgave my unworthy soul anchors me to Him. Anchors me. There's a story told about Abraham Lincoln. I can't tell you if it's true or not, but it sure is a fun story. About how he was walking through one day and they were auctioning off some African American folks, and there was a young girl there and there were several men making jokes, ready to bid. Abraham Lincoln outbid them all, took her papers, gave them to her. She goes, well, no, I'm a slave. I got. He goes, no, that's not how I work. He just gave her the papers back. He goes, well, what are you going to do with your life? Because obviously, no money, no food, in a bad place. She goes, well, I'm following you. Who else would I go around if not you? Who else would I serve if not you? And I'll tell you what, true or not, it's a beautiful illustration of how I feel towards the Lord. You paid my debt. I'll follow you. There's missionaries went to scary places. You know what drove them there? Lord, you pay my debt, I'll go there. I always used to joke, there's two places I would never want to go be a pastor. But it's kind of disrespectful to say that, but there are two places that would terrify me. Number one, I would not want to go to Ohio. I just hate the state. People say, wow, you're that committed to football? I go, no, I don't even watch football. Just don't like the state. Spent some time there, don't want to go back. The other one was Japan. Don't like the food there. Not a big fan of fish. My wife, deliriously happy there. Spent a semester there, deliriously happy there. That's good for her. I couldn't do it. I hear they got some great vending machines and some wonderful people, but I tell you what, I'd have a hard time doing it. But I'll tell you this, if the Lord ever sent me there, I'm going. You paid all my debt, I'll eat the food. You paid all my debt, I'll go down to Ohio and deal with those people. You know, I'll deal with that state. I say that tongue in cheek, I'm being silly. But wherever you want me to go. You want me to go out to the desert? I'll go. Hey, you want me to stay right here? I'll stay right here. And that's where we are. Lord, you want me to change the way I dress? I'll give that to you. You paid my debt. I'll give that to you. Gladly. Well, the pastor of the church, I don't know. Lord's asked of me to do it. It's yours. You want me to stop saying those words? That's yours, Lord. You didn't fail me. I'm not going to fail you. You want me to change the way I act, stop doing certain things? I'll give it to you, because hell sounds awfully hot to me. And I've got a whole eternity to not have to think about it. I'll give it to you. You know, I tell you what will the church say if we did this or that? You need to stop being so worried about what I would say. You need to stop being worried about what the gossips would say. You need to start being concerned with what God would say. Because I didn't pay your debts. Home Missionary Baptist Church didn't pay your debts. Jesus Christ did. It is to Him I owe. And if I see it in that word, we're going to have it as a part of our service here to the Lord. It'll be a part of the covenant. It'll be a part of our operations, what we're going to preach here. If it's in the word, we're standing by it. Why? Because that's God's word, and He sent His Son down to die on the cross for my sins. I'm following it. Yes, but Dr. So-and-so didn't die for my sin. I don't care. He disagrees with the Bible. He could take that up with the Lord when he gets there. But I'm following him. I'm doing what he's asked me to do. I don't deserve forgiveness. You know, I was a young man. I didn't do much. I wasn't even an active young man. I just stayed around the house a lot. Didn't cause no trouble. Got decent grades. Oh, I was a bit of a smart mouth. Still kind of am. I was a bit of a bother and an annoyance to my mom. I snuck off when we were at the store, and I'd wreak chaos just for the sake of funny. But I'd never really break any rules. I never really did anything get me in trouble. I just thought I was funny. That's two dangerous things for a kid to understand. Number one, never let a kid know how cute they are. Number two, never let them know how funny they are, or else your life's about to get real complicated. Real complicated. So that's the problem with my little girl. She knows she's cute. She came up to me last night. She just wanted a drink of water. Mommy had already given her 2 cups of water. Mommy told Daddy, I've already given her 2 cups of water. She's done. She came up to me, batting her little eyes, making her little faces at me. And I didn't give her a cup of water. Gave her a half a cup. I thought she deserved it. I don't deserve anything from God. I don't have anything coming from God. I didn't deserve my salvation. I certainly didn't. What's the difference between me and everybody else? Ain't nothing I brought to the table much good. Best part of me is the stuff that He made me with. Best part of me is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing I brought to the table. Now, there's not 1,000, maybe even 1,000,000 other people could do. But He chose me. He saved me. Put my sin on His back when He was on that cross. Became sin for me. I don't deserve that, but He did it. That's got more than my attention. That's got more than my devotion. That's got my conviction. That's got my life. As Paul said, as we looked at in Sunday school, I'm crucified in Christ, but I live. I deserve death, but I live. I deserve an eternity in hell, but I'm looking at an eternity in heaven. Something I don't deserve. Amen. Something I ain't got coming to me. And you know what else He does? He doesn't just give you heaven. He gives you a lot of things. If the Lord had just saved me, again, that's more than I deserve. That's phenomenal. That's fantastic. That's unheard of. It's unspeakable. The greatness of the gift that He gave me through salvation. But that's not all He does. I got air in my lungs. I got a spring in my step. Brother Charlie asked me how I was doing this morning. I said I was good, and then I thought about it. I go, I am good. I feel good today. You ever wake up and you're like, I feel good today. You know, I could probably go for a few miles. I could probably sit there and do a good workout today. I'm ready for a Sunday morning. I'm ready to sing His praises. I'm ready to preach His word. I felt good this morning. Amen. Some of you here, you're here, you don't feel good. When you feel good, that's a gift. Some of you are here this morning, others aren't. If you're able to make it in no matter what your condition, praise the Lord for that.
I praise the Lord for the bad days, because the bad days ain't even all that bad. Well, at least I'm at home and not in the hospital. I heard one person say this. Any day out of the grave is a good day. Any day out of the grave is, I don't know. I've had some rough ones. I'm sure you've had rougher. But there's always something to say. The Lord gave me this. I could have been anything else. Could have been anything else. I was teasing with somebody. You know, what's the with this heart catheterization they did? What's the worst that could happen? And I thought about it. Well, the worst that could happen is the doctor could make a mistake. And my wife would end up having to wipe the drool off my chin the rest of my life. Now, if I die, I go to heaven. That's wonderful. If it turns out there's nothing, that's wonderful too. I like that too. And I certainly wouldn't want to become a burden. So I'll tell you what. I wiped my own nose this morning. Doing good. It's all about perspective. Because there's people who are out there. They're struggling. They're hurting. You know, I knew this lady one time. I'd go and I'd read the Bible with her and I'd pray. She'd ask me to come by and read the Bible and pray. She couldn't move her arms. She couldn't move her legs. There was no part of her that moved but her eyes. She could speak, but she couldn't move her neck. She had this device that kept her head in place. They had to come by and move her. And the place where she was at, they didn't have the best of staff. So the tube that she would have just to breathe into to call the nurse was gross. I'm not going to get into detail, but it was gross because it wasn't cared for properly. There'd be days I'd go in there and I'd say, hey, listen, can you come here? I can't look at this. Whose job is it to clean that out? Her family never came to check in on her much. Maybe once a month she'd get a visitor. And I talked to her and I'd read with her and we'd pray together. And I'll tell you what, I love praying with her. I don't think I've prayed with too many people who pray like she does. With faith and love and all the courage that she had. Couldn't even turn the television on. Couldn't change the channel if she did. She had joy. I sat there and go, oh man. As I've said so often, Lord, forgive me when I whine. Forgive me when I get upset. Because of all the things you've given me. I tell you what, when you see someone praising the Lord in a bed like that, unable to move, and you stand up, and you walk to your car, you turn your fully paid for car on, and the tank of gas you bought is cycling through that engine, and you drive home, that puts you in a mindset. God ain't failed me. He ain't failed me. I'll give my all to Him. I'll do anything I can. And the fun thing about Peter, and I love this about Peter, is after the Lord came back, what did he do? Peter's out there in a boat. He's not fully clothed. He's out there fishing. You know what the Lord did? Lord went and got him. We preached recently about leaving the 99 to go get the one. And I'll tell you what, if I was Peter and I had done some of the things that Peter did and I had that stare on me like I so often do in my life now, I wouldn't be sitting there waiting for the Lord to come get me. But that's the Lord we serve. He comes to get you. Hey, you got any meat? Who is that? I know who that is. He's the only one ever made this trick work. What did he do? He bolted to that beach. What did Jesus say to him? Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter? Yeah. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. I can see Peter getting more and more emotional as the Lord asks him the question the third time. Yes, Lord. You know I love you. I love you so much. Feed my sheep. He takes people that don't deserve it, sharpens them, hones them, puts them to use. It should get us. It should get to us. I'm sat here, none deserving. for him to go to that cross. But knowing full well the measure of the people we are, he went to the cross. Knowing that he'd not only forgive us the once, but forgive us every day, sometimes for the same sin we asked forgiveness for yesterday. He still went to that cross. And knowing how defective we are, he still chooses to use us for his service. Because there are others in this world that are just as lost as we are. And someone needs to go out and be the living example. Someone needs to go out and be the living sacrifice. Listen, he died on the cross for my sins, changed my whole life, and now I'm here to tell you how he can change yours. But aren't there controversial things going on? Controversial beliefs are only controversial because you say they're controversial. To the Lord, they're truth. To the Lord, they're solid. Just because you disagree with it, don't make it right. Just because you don't like it, don't make it right. Don't make it wrong. Listen, what I want to say is this. I am grateful to be used by the Lord in whatever capacity he would use me. If by some way, through my actions, my attitude, the way I behave, I could show others the love that Christ has put upon my life, I'd think I'm doing my job. That's what I'd want. They're asking me at the house, and say, hey, do you have an advanced directive, living will, this or that? I said, well, I've got a list of things, but I've never had anybody official sign it, so I don't know. I go, I told her, do what I did in life. Look over at my wife and do whatever she says. She's literally my living will. Whatever she says, man. If there's nothing said about me in the end of my life, the only thing I'd ever cared to know is that people knew that I was a man that God never failed. I don't care what twists, turns, bumps, hiccups happen later on down the road. God ain't going to fail me. And I want it perfectly well known that as my shell is laying there underneath that rock, God still has not failed me. As a matter of fact, he has fulfilled the greatest promise he's ever made to me. And I've served him. And I loved him. And I lived a life of gratitude towards him. You see, I fail God. God does not fail me, and because he has never failed me, that led to Christ dying on the cross. He kept his word, and I could have forgiveness. And my monument of praise, my response of gratitude will always ever be service. I'll serve you. I'll draw near to you. I'll fight for you. I've never had to suffer for much. Oh, I've had a few rolled eyes and some quirky remarks about me, and folks have made fun here and there, but I've never really suffered for the Lord, but I'd like to think if I ever had to, I would. Here in America, we've got a skewed version of persecution is. You know, over in China, they'll put you in jail for 8 years going to church. Going to a Christian church, 8 years. Every now and then someone says something sideways to you on Facebook. Oh, they kicked me off Twitter. They don't talk to me at the family reunion. Oh, well. But what if they were the Lord's elect? You were the one to bring them the gospel. And you didn't. And you went back to the Lord and you had the opportunity to tell somebody the gospel. I'm not talking about being bombastic, harassing the people. I'm not talking about harassing people with the gospel. Give them the gospel. You know, I had several coworkers didn't want to hear it. They heard it once. They said, Matt, I never want to hear you talk about it again. Every time religion came up, they'd say, well, Matt, what do you think? I'd say, you know what I think. I already told you. You know. You know what the Bible says. Well, do you think all these transgenders are going to go to hell? Listen, man. It's not one sin. There's no difference between their sin and my gluttony. There's no difference between their sin and robbing a bank. My sin and robbing a bank, there's no difference in God's eyes. Sin is sin. Because as we talked about in Sunday school class, it is not a degree. It's a defect. We're all sinners by nature. I woke up in life. I was born. I was conceived in sin. I was born deserving it. That's my sin nature. You ain't going to find one sin make you more worthy of hell than the other. You're already there. Already headed there. But the gift of God, that's what you need to do. You need to repent of that sin. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what you need. Oh, we sit there, we play these games, but what ultimately it comes down to is, if I got the opportunity to give the gospel so some life can change the way mine has, I'm doing it. I'm not going to ask if it's the appropriate time. I'm not going to ask if it's comfortable. Listen, I'm awkward as it is already. I don't care. Well, you made it real awkward. Well, I do that. We could have been on any topic. I could make it awkward. But what's important is that the rest of our lives is spent showing gratitude for the fact that while we have failed, God has never failed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gift of your Son coming to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray that every moment be lived in dedication to gratitude. Lord, help us to serve you. Help us to not let petty things get in the way. Help us not to give in to our sin. Lord, help us not to compromise. Father, I would ask this, that if there be any that need that salvation, I pray, Lord, you grant it to them. Father, there are so many we pray for to be saved. Lord, we just ask that you grant that. We love you, Lord. Give us a good afternoon. Help us, Lord, to return to you again tonight. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.